I'm Rick Ganley. This is NHPR News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Ago, members of a movement called the Free State Project selected New Hampshire as the place to conduct a grand social experiment, convince 20,000 liberty-minded folks from around the country to move in and influence politics and community life. But as organizers have discovered, people saying they intend to come here and actually packing up and doing it are two different actions. That's why the president of the Free State Project said in a speech recently that supporters elsewhere need to stop talking and start moving. So far, 13,000 have committed to relocating to New Hampshire eventually, while just 1,100 have already made the move. It's a far cry from the hoped-for 20,000. Still, the Free State movement has had an impact. About a dozen of its members have served in the legislature, pushing for such libertarian-minded causes as medical marijuana, gun rights, and homeschooling. Others have promoted a limited government philosophy through community offices like planning boards and town councils, and a few have gained attention with headline-grabbing actions such as openly smoking pot on the town square in downtown Keene. Today in The Exchange, the Free State in the Granite State. We'll look at this movement's impact a decade later, and let's hear from you. What effect do you think the Free State Project has had on New Hampshire or on your own particular community? Are you a Free Stater yourself? What impact do you think your movement has had on the state? What are your hopes for the future? And how do you react to criticism that the movement's politics are too extreme for New Hampshire? Give us a call. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. We have three guests with us in the studio. Carla Garrick is here, president of the Free State Project. Carla, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thanks.
Also with us, Representative Carol McGuire. She's a Republican from Epsom. She moved to New Hampshire in 2005 as part of the Free State Project. And Representative McGuire, nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Also with us, Representative Joel Winters. He's a Democratic state rep from Manchester. He moved to New Hampshire in 2004 as part of the Free State Project. And Representative Winters, good to meet you, too. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, Carla, real quickly, just remind us, 10 years back, hard to believe, what was this movement all about? What was the goal?
Well, the goal was to get 20,000 people to move to the state of New Hampshire and to sort of espouse small government beliefs and to get involved in the state, both on a political level, but also, as you said, non-political, civil disobedience, people bring their businesses. The way it works is no one is actually committed or forced to move or have to move until we reach the 20,000 mark. So the 1,000 people who've already moved are kind of just, you know, overeager beavers. And so what we hope to do in the next 2 years is to trigger the move. And what that would entail is getting our last 6,000 signers. We're really close to 14,000 now. If we stay on the current trajectory without, you know, pushing further, we will trigger the move by 2018. I'm just impatient, so I think let's do it in a, you know, a little quicker.
Well, and in the speech that you gave about 4 or 5 weeks ago, Carla, you kind of seemed to say, look, time to fish or cut bait, folks. I mean, put up or shut up. Are you frustrated?
I'm not frustrated. I'm just very results-driven, and I would like to retire. So I want to do that in the next 2 years. You know, I'd like to see it through. I've been president now for 2 years. I'm really excited with the progress we're making, and, you know, I feel confident New Hampshire was the right state to choose. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, you know, we've become sort of a boogeyman, and I just want to dispel some of that. You know, we're good neighbors. We're productive people. We're bringing jobs. And so, you know, there's that attention sort of on the civil disobedience side of things because it's sexy. It makes for good radio. It makes for good television. But that's not, you know, solely what we're about.
Yeah. And as you said, New Hampshire was chosen because it was seen as receptive to your message already. What do you think, Representative McGuire, now that you've been here for 7 or 8 years, how receptive do you think New Hampshire has actually been to the Free State Project?
Very much so. My husband and I moved here in 2005 because very shortly after the vote, we decided that if it worked without us, you know, we'd feel guilty. But if it didn't work and we hadn't moved, we would just feel like we'd wasted a chance to do something for the world, basically, to create a place that's much freer than many other parts of the country. So we moved here. We explored in 2004 and decided to move here and got here in the summer of 05. And we were very welcomed by both the people who had already moved and by, you know, people who had been here longer or grew up here. We've always found New Hampshire people very welcoming to us. And, you know, this is home.
The original goal, as Carla said, was 20,000 like-minded people moving here. So far, just a little more than 1,000. Why so few?
Life gets in the way. My husband and I are both retired, so we were able to move at, you know, with no problem. We didn't have to worry about looking for a job or uprooting children from school or something like that. So we were able to move as soon as we decided to.
And I'm just curious why you decided to run for the legislature, Representative McGuire, as a Republican.
Well,
instead of a libertarian.
It's a lot easier, for one thing. If you run as a libertarian, you've got, you know, two strikes against you to start with. If you run as a Republican, you've got probably 25-30% of the voters who are going to vote for you regardless of anything else you do. And the Republican platform in New Hampshire is actually very libertarian. My emphasis is on smaller government, fiscal responsibility, and business regulations. And the Republican platform is very solid, as far as I'm concerned, on those issues. So,
and what's so interesting about the Free State Project is people do usually associate with libertarianism, Republican Party, but here we have Joel Winters, a Democratic representative from Manchester, again, moved here in 04 as part of the Free State Project. So why did you decide, Representative Winters, to become a Democratic state rep?
Well, looking at politics back in 2005, 2006, the Republicans dominated Washington, D.C. President Bush was trampling on civil liberties. There were Republicans running up deficits. I didn't want a lot to do with the Republican Party. And here in New Hampshire, I was inspired by Democratic leadership in fighting to get our state out of Real ID, which was legislation that Bush signed that sort of set the stage for a national ID card. And I'd worked with Senate Democrats on RFID labeling legislation. So when it came time to run for office, the Democratic Party seemed like it was going to be the best fit for me.
And how comfortable has it been since then?
Well, it has its ups and downs because I guess the House leadership would tell you I'm not a very good Democrat, but I still feel much more comfortable there than I would with the Republican Party.
I want to follow up on something Carla said and get your thoughts as well, our two state representatives. Carla, you said that people see the Free State Project as a boogeyman. What do you mean?
Well, you know, we're doing the show and we know people will call in and they'll have certain views. I think that, you know, people just want to use... First of all, the Free State Project itself is a non-political movement. We are just here to get people to move to New Hampshire. The way I actually see it is I'm sort of an informal tourism board. I travel all over, you know, the country and the world, and I talk about how awesome New Hampshire is. You know, the New Hampshire advantage. It's part of the reason we chose to come here. Small taxes, low crime, great place to raise your kids and all of that. So I do want, you know, your listeners to really understand there is a distinction. You know, I'm in here with two reps, but, you know, we're not political. In terms of the boogeyman, it's just, you know, sometimes I'll read things in the newspaper and I'll be like, that person's not even a free stater or what, you know, or because we're, you know, we're about individualism. We're not about collectivism. So free state participants who sign and who move come here and what they want to do is what they do. I'm pretty sure if I looked at both the other guests' voting records, I'm not going to agree with half the stuff that they believe. So the idea is really to just look at the individualism to say that people are, you know, making their own decisions based on their own values and beliefs.
Well, Carla, I don't want to pick on you, but how can you say you're not political? I mean, the goals of the Free Staters has been liberty, whether it's medical marijuana, gun rights, homeschooling. I mean, these are political issues.
They are, but the organization itself, our only mission, our charter, is to get people to sign and to move here. Once you're here, you do what you're interested in.
I see. Whether that's starting a business or running for the legislature.
Exactly.
Yeah. What do you guys think, Representative McGuire?
Absolutely. The Free State Project convinced us to move, but once we're here, we're on our own. And, you know, I haven't been particularly involved in the Free State Project since I moved because, all right, I've done it. Thank you very much. I'm on to other things.
And I I haven't done a lot with the Free State Project since I moved. I've started a family. I got two wonderful kids that are growing up here in New Hampshire, and I can't think of any other place I'd rather raise them. But, you know, Carol and I are both people who like to work within the system and within the political process. As you mentioned in your introduction, there's other people who want to hang out in Keene and smoke pot. That's not the way that I want to get involved. But some members, everyone has their own way of doing things.
So, Carla, if the goal isn't political, what's the purpose of telling a mass of 20,000 people to move to one place, if not to make political change?
Well, once again, so the organization itself is just saying move here, right? But the participants do agree with our statement of intent, you know, where they say that they'll exert the fullest practical effort toward the creation of a society in which the maximum role of civil government is the protection of life, liberty, and property. So they do agree to that statement, but there's nothing in there that says, you know, do this or do that. Everyone's fullest practical effort is something different, and it means different things to different people.
Our phone number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. It's been a decade since New Hampshire was chosen by the Free State Project as a place to conduct a social experiment, if you could call it that. Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. What effect do you think the Free State Project has had on New Hampshire or on your town? Also, if you consider yourself a member of this project, what are your hopes? How do you think you've been received by New Hampshire? How do you react to some of the criticism of the Free State Project? Our number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And real quickly to you, Joel Winters, what does that mean, 20,000 liberty-minded people? What does liberty-minded mean to you?
Well, I think everybody has sort of their own definition, their own priorities. To me, civil liberties and privacy are really the big issues that drive me, that encourage me to get involved. Other people, as you mentioned, are homeschooling rights. For other people, it's gun rights. For other people, it's reform of our drug laws. So everyone has their own liberty priorities. And I think the great thing about the Free State Project is everyone can do their own thing.
All right. We'll hear from our listeners after just a short break. 1-800-892-6477. We'll also get reaction from the Democratic Party, from the Republican Party. We'll take your emails as well, exchange@nhpr.org, and we'll be right back.
This is NHPR 919. Good morning. And more on the status of the Free State Project in New Hampshire coming up on The Exchange, then at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show. New efforts to give judges more discretion in sentencing. Sunshine for today across New Hampshire, less windy than it has been and milder. Highs from 55 degrees in parts of southern New Hampshire, 50 for central areas of the state, 45 for a high in the North Country. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from FCI Federal, dedicated people working together to accomplish rewarding outcomes. That's a hallmark of FCI Federal. More information online at fcifederal.com. From Restaurant Week Portsmouth and the Seacoast, a 10-day culinary experience featuring 49 restaurants now to the 13th. Details at restaurantweekportsmouth.com. And the Stroke Program at Catholic Medical Center, a comprehensive stroke program dedicated to improving recovery rates for stroke patients. Information at catholicmedicalcenter.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, the status of the Free State Project in New Hampshire, 10 years after its members chose the Granite State. We invite you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Send a short email to exchange@nhpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page. Joining us now by phone is Peter Burling. He's a former state senator, a former state representative from the Democratic Party. Today, he's a national committeeman for the DNC representing New Hampshire. And Peter Burling, welcome back to The Exchange. Good to have you.
Good morning. How are you? And hi, everybody. How are you?
Hi.
Good Great. Morning.
Well, and Peter Burling, if I could just ask you real quickly, speaking as a Democratic Party official, even though you're no longer in the legislature, how do Democrats in general feel about the Free State Project?
Well, I'm never taken a poll on the subject, so really I can only talk about my own feelings and the feelings that Democrats express to me. And you know, the themes that your three guests have been describing are themes that Democrats have talked about for years. We believe in keeping government out of the private lives of citizens. As you know full well, the last 20 years in the legislature have seen huge battles of Democrats either on the abortion issue or on a variety of issues having to do with drug asset forfeiture, or Representative Winter talked about the wonderful fight over RFIDs when I was still in the Senate. Democrats believe in a lot of the libertarian spectrum, if you will, of political judgment.
By the way, RFIDs, because that's come up twice, these are sort of little chips, right?
Yeah. Yeah, radio frequency identification devices. And, that was an issue where people as diverse as, I guess, myself and Neil Kirk really came together to say, this has got to stop. We don't want big government and big business putting doggy collars on all of us.
Well, so you're in line then with the Free State Project to some extent in terms of, you know, government watching over you every step of the way. But certainly, Mr. Burling, a lot of Democrats have had a lot of problems with free staters. You know, small government, okay, but this is too small. Gun rights, okay, but this is too many rights. I mean, what about that?
Well, Laura, I'm not sure that you're describing a thoughtful Democratic response. I'm thinking of your three guests, all of whom are articulate and thoughtful presenters of their ideas. You know, the fact of the matter is, historically, the free state movement, though it didn't have the name, has been going on for 50 years as people came to New Hampshire looking for a less government, more community, more individual kind of place to live and raise our families. That's part of what brought me to New Hampshire in 1961, I guess. My family loved what New Hampshire represented. And, of course, much of the idealism that they talk about is directly reflected in the form of town government that we have and we've enjoyed for 100 years.
Peter, last year, a Democratic state representative, Cynthia Chase from Keene, put on her blog that free staters, in her opinion, were the single biggest threat the state faced today. She said that that they are trying to go too far for the state. She said that they are really a problem. She was worried about the protests or the civil disobedience in Keene and so forth. What do you think about that? I mean, I know people within a party can disagree, but it seems to me that some Democrats really do have a problem with this movement.
I think some Democrats have problems with some free staters who have chosen to express themselves angrily or abrasively, maybe even aggressively on some subjects. But that's what I've just heard from your three guests is that's not what being a free stater is about in their perspective. Joel, did you want to say something there?
Well, I guess I'd chime in and say that, you know, some free staters have problems with other free staters, too. We're a big tent, and there's a lot of different opinions.
Well, especially among liberty-minded folks in particular. Everyone goes their own way. Peter Burling, I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning. Good to talk to you once again.
You're very welcome, and have a good show. Thank you.
That's Peter Burling, again, a former state lawmaker and former leader in the Democratic Party here in New Hampshire. The number for you to join us with your questions and comments, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And all of you, let's go to the phones. And Aaron's calling from Keene. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question for your guest. So you have a set of rules, and you tell people to come here. But you tell people to come here from out of state, but then these people come here, treat the state like a playground, act very inappropriately. I guess I'm from Keene, so I only see the Keene chapter of this. But I just want to know why you just tell people to come here, have no oversight for any of this, and then you say, well, people can just do what they want.
Well, Aaron, treat the state like a playground. What does that mean exactly?
Well, I guess I'm speaking more specifically of Keene. There's a lot of free staters around here who just sort of seem to do what they want when they want under the umbrella of free stater.
Like what? Like smoking pot openly downtown?
Well, yeah, smoking pot and going and protesting in our court, going and generally making jerks of themselves to blow the public, and then just turning around and saying, well, no, it's okay. It's the Free Stater movement.
Yeah. Aaron, thanks a lot for calling in. Kara McGuire, what do you think?
Well,
are those keen Free Staters giving your movement a black eye?
I would say so, but it's a movement of liberty-minded people, and for some people, they think liberty means smoking pot in the square. But that's just a very small part of liberty, in my opinion. And, I mean, I don't live in Keene, and if I did, I wouldn't be smoking pot in the square.
Carla.
And also, I think it's a question of tactics. Different people, you know, want to use different tactics to do things in different ways. You know, if you look at, you know, JFK was someone different to Martin Luther King, or Rosa Parks did something, you know, to change things. Civil disobedience does have its place, but tactically, you know, it might not be the best decision. The other thing I think that should be emphasized is freedom is messy. So if you don't have central control, and if things are decentralized and people are acting on their own, we're not all going to agree on what the right tactic is or the right way to express what your values and beliefs are. So, you know, freedom's messy and we have to accept that, but freedom is better than, you know, totalitarianism. Mm-hmm.
Carol?
And exactly. When we were very frustrated and people were getting ready to move and they said, well, but where do we go? What do we do? And we said, well, live and be free. And it's hard to convince people that they have to take responsibility for themselves.
Here's an email from Kathleen who says, as a resident of one of the main Free State sites, Keene, I did not mind the Free Staters, but she says that changed when groups started stunts like protesting at judges and police officers' houses, at 9 p.m., really scaring families, harassing crossing guards, following court clerks into their jobs while filming them. Now any goodwill that I or others felt is totally gone. The Free Staters are looked at as a nuisance. A recent low-interest school election brought out many just to make sure Free Staters did not run, and the three Free State candidates came in last. I don't want to spend the whole hour talking about Keene, but I do wonder what you think, Representative Winters, whether turning off residents who are already here is a good tactic to build support for these general liberty principles.
Well, it's not the tactic I would choose, but they are getting us talking, and they are forcing a conversation. So I think in that sense that they're being successful in making us think about what liberty means to us.
Kathleen, thanks for the email. Here's another one from Mike. He says, the Free State guests on your show seem to be nice, respectful, intelligent, nothing like the Free Staters in Keene. Have any of the Free State leaders outside of the Free Keene movement on your show had any conversations, interactions with Keene Free Staters? What do you think, Carla? You're the president of this project in New Hampshire.
Well, you know, I think Keene has done a job of marketing itself to attract certain kinds of people to that area. It definitely does have a stronger civil disobedience flavor. I also know, you know, tons of other Free Staters who live in Keene that people won't even know they're Free Staters. They homeschool their kids. They go to church. You know, so it's just, yeah, Keene's interesting because they're just sort of doing some other kind of experiment. It's not something personally, you know, that I like to come and defend because it, you know, but as Joel said, it allows us to open dialogue and to talk. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, we can circle back to people like Kathleen and say that, hey, if you used to support us, we're here, we're in the studio, we sound kind, nice, articulate, all of those things. It's like, don't just look at, you know, the actions of 10 people and then collectivize the movement. Look at the individual. Say, I don't like those people doing that thing. But don't say, I don't like all Free Staters, because, you know, we're good people.
Representative Winters, and then we'll go back to our callers.
Thanks. And lots of us are good people. We're just trying to raise our families, you know, be, you know, get involved in our communities. And but that doesn't make headlines. So don't forget about us just because we're quiet. There's a lot of us that are trying to be good neighbors.
Although the people in Keene who are trying to raise their families, police officers' families, don't want to be harassed. You know, do you really want to go downtown Keene with your kids and see people smoking pot on Central Square? So the Free Staters' liberties are clashing with other people's liberties, Representative Winters. And you know, it seems like it's hard to achieve balance there. I mean, one person's idea of liberty is another person's idea of a threat or a disruption or something that they really don't want to be exposed to.
Well, as Carla said, freedom can be messy. And I disagree with some of the things that they do, but I guess I support their right to express themselves how they want.
Okay, we're going to go back to our callers. Appreciate those emails. The email address is exchange@nhpr.org. The phone number, 1-800-892-6477. In Hanover, Augusta's waiting. Hi, Augusta. Thanks for being on The Exchange today. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'd like to clarify the word which they use so freely, non-political. What the Free Staters mean is they're non-partisan. We all are political as soon as we take stands on an issue. But when we say we're nonpartisan, we are not supporting one view or another, one party or another. It's like the League of Women Voters. It's a nonpartisan educational group teaching people how to be good citizens, but doesn't tell them what to vote.
Yeah. So why do you think that that's an important point, Augusta?
Well, don't you think it is? Because nonpartisan clears the air and makes it clear that, no, actually, the Free Staters are doing a political thing when they come here because of the freedom to make their own decisions about how they live and what issues they support. But
okay.
If they're partisan, then they're on, when you say you're nonpartisan, then you are free to vote one way or another or take any political action.
Okay. Augusta, thank you for joining our conversation. Representative McGuire, what do you think?
That's one way to put it. I mean, she seems to think that taking any kind of a value stand is political, which is, you know, one way to interpret it. But there are people in the Free State program who are not at all political in what most people think of it. I've got some neighbors that just raise their kids and their chickens.
The Free State Project members who just raised their kids and their chickens?
Yes, they moved here for the Free State before I did, actually.
So they're not out there promoting medical marijuana or,
not at all.
Open carry gun legislation or anything like that.
They're constituents of mine, but they don't even, you know, they barely put a sign in their yard.
You had to convince them to do that.
I had to convince them.
Representative Winters, go ahead.
Well, some people with the movement are really non-political, and they don't want to vote. Or have anything to do with the political process. And that's the method that they choose to express themselves. I don't think it's the most effective way, but they're certainly entitled to do that, to really be non-political.
I'd like to ask you, Representative McGuire, the same question I asked Representative Winters. How do you work with others who have different ideas of liberty? We talked about, you know, again, people not like seeing some of the civil disobedience in Keene. Guns are another example. Some people feel they have a right to openly carry in any public place. Other people feel threatened when they see a gun openly displayed. So that's one person's freedom to carry versus another person's freedom to feel safe. How do you get together on that? How do you sort that out? This idea of liberty and your concept might be different from somebody else's concept.
Well, my right to swing my arms ends before your nose does. But as far as like open carry, that is the law. It is legal. And many people feel that they are safer if they're armed. That's their decision. And the fact that somebody just feels threatened should not impose their sensitivities on someone else who is exercising their constitutional right. I mean, you've got to set the priorities. I mean, I don't normally carry a gun, but if I did, I probably wouldn't be open about it. But some people feel that it's necessary to be armed and visibly armed.
Do you want to jump in on that, Carla? Not just in specifically the gun issue, but more, you know, one person's rights are not. Everybody interprets this idea of liberty differently. And as we've heard from some of our emails and callers, sometimes we butt heads over that.
I mean, I think it is a challenge. One thing I would say that most Free State Project participants agree on is the philosophy of non-aggression. And it's something that basically, you know, we just say that you have the right pretty much to do anything you want as long as you don't harm someone else. And so to the example of the gun rights, you don't actually have a right to feel safe. You do, however, have a constitutional right to carry a gun. And so I think a lot of these things will just have to be addressed through dialogue, through education, through, you know, getting people to sort of talk and understand. Guns can be scary, but, you know, certainly when I moved here, I moved from New York and I was like, whoa, you know, and now I'm used to it and it doesn't bother me. And, you know, that was an education process. And, you know, I saw a really interesting thing in Keene Square right after I moved. And it was a guy who was open carrying, and I was like, oh, my God, he's got a gun. And then on his holster, he had an anti-war sticker. And I was like, pro-gun, anti-war. So, you know, these are complex ideas.
Let's go to another caller if we could. Greg's waiting in New Ipswich. Hi, Greg, you're on The Exchange. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Laura. First of all, I want to tell you, I was really glad to hear Peter Berling's voice. I served with him in the legislature many years ago. I was the first independent to be elected to the
Supreme
Court. And at the time, the label independent sounded a little squirrely. I didn't want to, I wasn't a libertarian. I was just simply someone who moved here without a party identification. So I want to thank you for having these people on to enlighten us and maybe get away from the labels. My question is, or my concern is, many of us moved here, and I from California, because we were attracted to New Hampshire and what we thought it had to offer us. My feeling, and maybe it's wrong, is that the Free Staters have moved here to change things. I'd like to hear a comment, a reaction for that from your guests.
Okay, and Greg, thanks a lot for chiming in this morning. Representative McGuire.
Actually, what the Free Staters want to do is make New Hampshire more like it was as we want it to be. We want to strengthen the role of the town meetings. We want the towns to be able to do what they need to do. We want the state government to be smaller, less intrusive, and less limiting to what you want to do. And that's our goal.
Here's an email following up on what you said and what Greg says. This is from Mike, who is also he's a Free Stater and a state representative. You say the Free State Project selected New Hampshire, which is true, but it was Granite Staters that sold New Hampshire as the destination for the Free State Project. So in a sense, New Hampshire selected the Free State Project, which is something of a great marriage, Mike says. What do you think about that, Representative Winters?
Yeah, when I voted for where the Free State Project should move back in 2003, New Hampshire wasn't the first thing on my list. But I was wrong. New Hampshire is a great state, and I'm very happy that I moved here and can't think of a better place to raise my kids.
Well, Greg, thanks for that call and thanks for that email, Mike. A lot more of your comments and questions after a short break. 1-800-892-6477. Keep it right here.
This is NHPR, where support comes from UR members and Unity Homes from Bensonwood, designed to improve the world by enhancing quality of life and reducing energy consumption. Information at unityhomes.com. And the first Monadnock International Film Festival in Keene, 8 feature films, documentaries, and shorts hosted by filmmakers and celebrities through April 6. Online at moniff.org. It's 9:40. This is NHPR.
My name is Amanda Loader, and I'm a business and economy reporter for New Hampshire Public Radio. New Hampshire likes to give entrepreneurs and businesses a lot of breathing room to maneuver. It acts like this test lab where different ideas are being implemented. It's an experiment in creating a hospitable business climate. Now, whether that works or doesn't work, that's the job of a business reporter, to really dig in and figure that out.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the status of the Free State Project 10 years after members of the project chose New Hampshire. 1-800-892-6477 is our number for you to join us. 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And all hour, we've been talking with three members of the Free State Project about what they think their impact has been. We've also been getting a lot of reaction from you, your calls and emails. We also talked to an official from the Democratic Party for New Hampshire. We now go to the Republican Party. Jennifer Horn is with us. She's the chairman of the GOP for New Hampshire. She was also the Republican nominee for the second congressional district race in 08. And Jennifer Horn, welcome back to The Exchange. Good to have you.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, how do you feel the Free State Project has affected your party, the Republican Party? We already heard from Peter Berling from the Democrats.
Well, I missed what Peter had to say about it, but I can tell you that whether it's the Free State Project or any other group or organization whose goal is to expand individual liberty and to protect the constitutional rights that all New Hampshire citizens and all American citizens are supposed to benefit from, then that's something that's right in line with the Republican Party. You know, we recognize that every organization, including the Democratic Party, always has, you know, a few members here and there that are either extreme or radical or, you know, maybe perceived to be a little bit nutty or whatever it is. All groups have that. But I think that for the most part, the Free State Project has been very much a movement with character that I think has probably been a positive thing in our state.
Some Republicans, more moderate Republicans, have said that some of the Free State Project folks went overboard in the last legislative session. Libertarians on steroids, in the words of one of them. What do you think, Jennifer? Have they given your party a reputation as perhaps too far to the right for the comfort level of many Republicans?
Yeah, no, I don't think so at all. Again, you know, I recognize that there are always, you know, there are always some members of any group. You know, every group represents a spectrum of ideas. So there are always folks in any organization out on both ends of the spectrum, and the vast majority of them live somewhere in between. And I think that's as much true about the Free State Project as it is about anything else. I think that what we want in New Hampshire is to remain the state of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We want to remain the state that respects and protects rights of individuals. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find, you know, any average citizen, regardless of how they identify politically, you know, who would argue with that. I also think that one of our strengths in New Hampshire is that we embrace debate and we embrace a variety of different political ideas. And I think what's most disturbing about this renewed conversation around the Free State Project are the folks on the outside edge of the Democratic Party who look at new ideas and different ideas as threatening and say they want to pass legislation that will shut down ideas and will, you know, encourage people to leave our state rather than to stay here.
You're referring again to the blog post by the state representative from Keene who called the Free Staters a threat to New Hampshire. Jennifer Horton, thank you for being with us.
I'm referring to her blog post and to the fact that I don't recall any leaders from her party rejecting that statement.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer, for your time.
Great. Take care.
That's Jennifer Horne. Again, she's the New Hampshire GOP chairman, talking about the impact of the Free State Project on the Republican Party. Our number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Here's a super short email from Bob. I think I'll throw this to you, Carol McGuire. Are the Free Staters the same as the Tea Partiers?
No, not at all. There is an overlap, of course, because most of the Tea Partiers are also interested in a smaller government, but the emphasis is different. And a lot of the Tea Partiers haven't moved or don't officially associate themselves with the Free State Project. But
what do you think, Representative Winters?
Well, the Tea Party is a relatively new invention, as far as I know. It was the Free State Project. We've been here for 10 years now. So, yeah, as Carol said, there's definitely some overlap, but no, they're not the same thing at all.
Yeah,
I wouldn't consider myself a Tea Partier.
Would you consider yourself a libertarian?
Small L libertarian, yeah.
Again, still a member of the Democratic Party, officially, yes. Anyway. You're a member of this legislature as a Democrat.
And occasionally there's some discussion in the House Democratic Caucus with some of us. Maybe we should have a Democratic Libertarian Caucus that we can work together.
And I know we've talked a lot this hour about labels, but I should get you in on this too, Carla. Free Stater, Libertarian, Tea Partier, what do you think?
Well, there is some overlap, but, you know, once again, we're not actually our organization is just about educating people about New Hampshire. And, you know, we have the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is coming up in the summer, and Liberty Forum, where I actually got to meet Jennifer for the first time. And, you know, we just, we're about educating people about these ideas. And, you know, so there's overlap, of course, because everyone, you know, does share certain things. But I would say for the most part, you know, we're socially liberal and fiscally conservative. But even all of us in the room won't agree on that.
Now, that sounds libertarian to me. Socially liberal,
you know, gay marriage, for example, but fiscally conservative.
Sure. You know, and some people will say they're anarcho-capitalists if we want to go down, you know, labels. So, you know, there are lots of labels. In the end, I think labels tend to separate people instead of just thinking about all of us as we're humans and, you know, we've all got to live together. And the best way to do that, in my opinion, in any event, is to allow people the freedoms they want.
Joining us now on the phone is someone who has been a major critic of the Free State Project. Zandra Rice Hawkins is here, founding executive director of Granite State Progress, which describes itself as applying progressive solutions to community problems. Zandra, good to have you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
So what is your main beef, if I could call it that, Zandra, with the Free State Project?
Well, you know, we would agree with Representative Chase that it's high time New Hampshire shines a bright light on the tactics and the extreme behavior of the Free State Project. In contrast to what was said earlier, the Free State Project's stated purpose is to move to New Hampshire, run for political office, and take over state government. And I'll just quote briefly from the announcement by the founder of the Free State Project, Jason Sorens. Once we've taken over the state government, we can slash state and local budgets. He goes on to say we can eliminate substantial federal interference by refusing to take highway funds. Once we've accomplished these things, we can bargain with the national government over reducing the role of national government in our state, and we can use the threat of secession as leverage to do this. That sounds pretty political to me. And I think some of the concerns that we have, and that I know that Representative Chase had, is that Free Staters believe that they should have the quote, freedom for women to walk by middle school students topless, as they have done in Keene, or to resist arrest if they disagree with the charge, as we saw state legislation introduced this session to do. And in some areas of the state, particularly in Keene, we've had a long and difficult history with some of the activities the Free Staters have done. And it's not about being involved in local government. The goal really is to disrupt the New Hampshire way of life. And I think it's really important that people are clear, you know, these individuals didn't move to New Hampshire because they like our state. They moved here because the Free State Project voted on which state to move to and take over. And New Hampshire was unfortunately the recipient of that vote.
And we'll get our guest's reaction to that in just a minute. But Zandra, I wonder then, okay, as the head of a group that, again, tries to apply what you call progressive solutions to community problems, what do you do with that? How do you respond to that?
Well, to their activity, I think it's really important for us to be transparent. You know, one of the concerns we have around the Free State Project is they're not clear about their goals. And as you've heard from the program today, they're very misleading about it. You take a group like ours, for example, you go to our website, we're very transparent and open about the projects we're working on, the groups and the individuals we're affiliated with. You have examples of members of the Free State Project running under either a Democrat or Republican banner for state office. For example, State Representative in Manchester, who's a Free Stater, both he and his roommate ran on opposite sides of the ticket to ensure that one of them would get into office. The individual who's the Democrat did get into office running under that party banner. But then when you look at the background, this individual, you know, runs a website called Stateless Government. He doesn't support Medicare, Social Security, the armed services, public roads. He doesn't even think they should exist. And now you have the state representative in the Democratic Party not believing in any of the things that the Democratic Party stands for, and who instead believes that local city police departments and fire stations should be abolished. And when he's asked about support for public education, he actually told somebody, "I'm an anarchist. I don't believe there should be a state." I mean, that's very different. And I think, you know, one thing that the Free State Project, to their credit, has done is they've been very under the radar, and they've been able to put, you know, folks like the individuals on the program today who put a really nice face on it. But the activities they're doing are really dangerous and I think threaten the way of life here in New Hampshire.
And Zandra, real quick too, because we're getting to the end. And again, I appreciate you joining us. So you could argue, hey, it's a free country. You know, sometimes you hear conservatives say all these liberals are moving up from New York and Connecticut to New Hampshire and trying to change the way of life here too. So it's a free country. People can move where they want. They can run for political office if they want. So yeah, you don't like what they stand for, but they've got a right to do this, don't they?
Oh, they certainly do, and anybody has a right to move to any state they want. But I think it is important to point out these individuals didn't come here just because one day they looked at New Hampshire and thought this would be a good place to come. They moved here because a political group told them to, and their goal, their stated goal in coming here is to change the way of life in New Hampshire, and that's very different than you know other folks who might move for a change in scenery, for a job, you know, for family or any other purpose. And at the end of the day, you know, they can organize in any way they want, but it is important for people to understand what their underlying goal is, because when you know about the motivation of how they're doing these activities, why they're doing them, then you can kind of see what the end game is.
Okay, Zandra, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Zandra Rice-Hawkins, Founding Executive Director of Granite State Progress. Before we go to the emails and calls, Representative Winters, are you that Democrat that Zandra was talking about?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not.
Did you want to jump in there?
Well, I guess I could say I know the Democrat that she's referring to. And while I'm sure that the quotes that she provided were accurate, I think once you actually get elected and you actually have responsibilities, I think that changes your view on things. And the individual that she's referring to recently voted with the Democrats to raise the gas tax because it's a user fee that takes care of our roads, and we have a responsibility to maintain those roads.
I want to pick up on something else Zandra said, and for you, I think, Representative McGuire, you know, it's this idea that I was trying to talk about earlier, one person's idea of freedom and liberty disrupts another person's sense of what's right and what's wrong. She mentioned, you know, you don't have the freedom to walk topless past a group of middle schoolers resisting arrest. Zandra said, disrupting the New Hampshire way of life. I wonder how you feel about that.
Actually, I feel rather offended that Ms. Hawkins assumes that all free states are identical, that we have the same purpose, we have the same principles, that we do the same things. I don't walk topless past middle schoolers. I don't walk topless by anybody except my husband. You know, that's me. I wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't do most of the things some of the civil disobedience types are doing. But
should you call them out on that, though? Should you say, hey, look, you're giving this project that I care about to a bad rap? You're kind of ruining it for me.
Well, I think...
What do you think, Carla?
Sorry to jump in there, but, you know, a lot of the examples that are being cited here are things that happened several, if not three to five to eight years ago. Really, I would say in the past couple of years, we've seen the activism in Keene change a little bit. You know, so a lot of the examples that are being brought up are sort of things that are water under the bridge. I also want to make two points. You know, Cynthia Chase, the representative who said we're the biggest threat to the state of New Hampshire, of course, moved here 6 years ago from Rhode Island. So, you know, one could make the argument, and if Zandra was still here, perhaps, you know, she could tell us if she's native born or if she moved from somewhere else.
New Hampshire has one of the highest immigration rates in the country.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's probably one of the reasons that keeps it the wonderful state it is. I mean, you know, 2/3 of the House of Representatives came from somewhere else. So it doesn't make it special that we're moving here for the same reasons other people do. And I would posit that, you know, the progressive agenda is not necessarily entirely in line with Granite State or values.
Although she said you guys are different because some people move here for a job or for quality of life or for the mountains, and you guys moved here for a specific, she said, political purpose.
Well, once again, that's not entirely accurate. You know, we're just, you know, we're selling the state of New Hampshire, and the people who move here actually move for those same reasons. It's sort of like trying to sell timeshare in a really cold place. You know?
Actually, one thing that a lot of people forget is that people who lived in New Hampshire actually courted the Free State Project, and that's the biggest reason it was selected as a state.
Governor Craig
Benson
at the time.
Governor Benson, the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire, and a group of activists in New Hampshire specifically courted the Free State Project. They provided information on how easy it is to get involved, the advantages of the state, and they did a marvelous job on selling it because there was a big split. A lot of people in the southern and western parts of the country are not interested in moving to a cold northern state.
Yeah. Well, here's an email from Portsmouth who says, the whole premise of the free state movement seems really arrogant to me. The free staters should recognize that there were people living in New Hampshire before they decided to come here. We already had our own ideas of how politics should be arranged. The free staters want to change the balance, either by, quote, enlightening us or overwhelming us and replacing current NH politics with their own extreme minority viewpoint. Steve says, I wish they would pick on some other state, leave us alone. What do you think, Joel Winters?
Well, I think the idea that we can overwhelm New Hampshire is not going to happen. But, you know, when I started getting into politics, one of the first books I read was Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, who wrote a lot about community organizing. So we can come into the communities and look for like-minded individuals and help work together to enhance the voices and the opinions that are already here in New Hampshire. And I think that's more what the Free State Project is about, is as opposed to trying to overwhelm the state.
And we've got, you know, a stack of emails here and lots of calls that we were unable to get to. A lot of people, Representative Winters, having a negative reaction to the movement. We've gotten some positive reactions, too. Why do you suppose that's the case? Why do you suppose this movement causes such a visceral reaction in people?
Well, I think that's probably the most vocal people are the ones who are negative. And the people who know us, that are our neighbors and our friends, don't feel a need to call in and say good things about us. But the people who are upset like to have their opinions heard.
What do you think, Carla?
You know, we're here to stay. Get used to us. And, you know, let's all just get along.
Carol McGuire?
Joel's absolutely right. It's the complainers and the people that have a beef that come out and are active. The people who are happy don't call in. They say, oh, what? It's nice to hear Carol again, and I hadn't heard Joel recently or whatever. They don't have to call in, except maybe to say hi. Good to hear you again. The people that have issues and concerns are the ones that are calling.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody who emailed and called, and I really appreciate you all coming in and talking to me today, too. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Faith Meixel. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.